cooked foods versus raw foods. Or how about we transcend these food diets and fads and adhere to the ultimate diet that is nature's diet? Welcome to the Vital Veda Podcast. I am your host, Dylan Smith, Ayurvedic practitioner and holistic health educator based in Sydney and traveling around the world sharing the knowledge. Yo, seriously, let's get into this. We got an important one, probably one of the first podcast episodes we've done on nutrition, and I get asked this a lot about nutrition and about raw foods or cooked foods or what's the best diet. So we're just going to explore a specific topic related with raw foods. But before we go into this, I just want to shout out about the events coming up. If you want to join me, I'll be in Avalon, the northern beaches of Sydney, on the 13th of February, giving a talk with Sattva Yoga. You can check out that on their website. That will be at Balanced Studios in Avalon. And the following Thursday night in Melbourne, I'll be at Lightspace Yoga in Ivanhoe in Melbourne. So check out Lightspace Yoga for an evening, and then I'll be offering consultations and treatments the following weekend for both Avalon, North Sydney and Melbourne. And also, I will be in New Zealand in the middle of March. So keep an eye out on my newsletter for all those details. And speaking about newsletter, follow the newsletter. It's where I give probably the most detailed information and knowledge and wisdom, and also sharing some special offers and discounts, updates, that sort of stuff. So before we get into today's episode, just remember, if you like the stuff that I'm doing, you can show support by subscribing to this podcast, leaving a review, and if you want to make a donation, head over to the podcast page on the Vital Veda website. If you want more knowledge, Instagram's where I most regularly post. Check out the many other wonderful podcast episodes we've got, and newsletter, as I said, Facebook. And hey, welcome 2020. Happy New Year, guys. So happy for you to join me. And what an exciting year. Hey, by the way, I'm going to put it out here right now, which is going to motivate me even more. I'm going to try to commit to doing two podcasts a month rather than one. So I'm going to up it. And I've got some really exciting interviews lined up already. In the next week, I'll be interviewing quite some amazing people. I've already done quite an amazing one with someone very special. So there's really awesome stuff coming up. So make sure you're subscribed to not miss an episode. And always remember, there's the show notes for the details on what I talk about. Sometimes I elaborate even more on the show notes and also provide links, resources, all that jazz. All right, let's get into it. Whenever I am engaging in a discussion or talking about health trends or whatever it may be, I really try to create a balanced argument on both sides, right? I like to give both the pros, the cons, the science, and also, of course, something very valuable to the equation, the ancient wisdom, the time-tested wisdom of something like Ayurveda, which has thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of years of time-tested wisdom, which doesn't change. That's what I love about the Ayurvedic diet. You get all these food fads and trends and fads and whatever it may be. They just change. They only last a few years. 10 years is not a lot of time. If you look at, you know, the Ayurveda has been doing the same thing for thousands of years. The textbooks don't change. This is a testament to the authenticity and that this stuff actually works. So ancient wisdom is definitely something that someone should be considering when assessing whether an intervention is appropriate for them, whether it's a diet or lifestyle regime or a technique or a practice, whatever it is. So when it comes to the raw food diet or the cooked food diet, really I try to, you know, have a look on both sides and show both. But when you look at Ayurveda, it's just so much emphasis on the cooked foods, and really raw food doesn't have much of a place. It does have a place. There are some times when it's indicated, and we're going to go through that and still provide a balanced argument or a balanced view of each, rather. But let's go ahead and show you, and you can decide for yourself. And I just want to add that when you're looking at scientific studies, of which I do, and looking at the scientific literature, there is a dubious flexibility to scientific literature. And typically you will find pros and cons for both. You'll say, for example, if you look at, is soy good for you? Well, you'll have heaps of studies saying that it's great for you. And then you'll have heaps of studies saying that it's not good for you. It's an anti-nutrient, it's hard to digest. And really, it's not as black as white as something that's good for you or bad for you. And it's the same with raw foods. There's many things that we have to take into consideration. And I'm going to give you a few of these now. They are, and these are really the eight factors for diet in health in Ayurveda. And that is, look at the prakriti. What is the actual nature of the food articles? Okay. What is the method of processing? Karana, like, how are you cooking? You can't just say soy is good or bad. Like, what's the nature of it? Is it GMO? Is it organic? And how have you processed it? Is it raw? Is it cooked? Is it fermented? Third one is samyoga, combination. Okay, what's it combined with? That's going to influence if it's appropriate or not. The fourth one is rashi, quantity, obviously. Blueberries are great, but you don't want to eat 2 kilos. Okay. Fifth one is desha. What is the habitat that it's grown in? Is it grown in a heavily pesticide polluted area, or is it grown in the beautiful, pristine, organic mountains? Kala, time. What is the time that you're eating this? What is the age that you are in? What is the time and or state of your disease of the individual? So the time of all the aspects included in the formula of a diet is taken into consideration. Seventh one is upayoga samta, rules governing the intake of food, really just to eat with awareness, right? I don't care if you're eating the best organic Ayurvedic food. If you're eating it on the run or on the bus or in front of your computer on the email of work or whatever it may be, your flight or fight response is turned on, your sympathetic nervous system. You cannot even digest the best organic food when that nervous system is turned on. You want the parasympathetic nervous system to be turned on, the rest and digest nervous system. That is so important. How you eat. It's not just about what you eat. How you eat is so important. Then you can digest many things. You can even turn ice cream into nectar. And the eighth one is upayoktam, and that is the wholesomeness of the individual who takes it. Looking at the individual, the actual individual. So I did not grow up eating soy, neither did my grandparents, neither did my parents. But what about a Japanese person? They've been eating it for many years, many generations. They become okasatima, which means habituated. It's in their genes. So many factors we have to look at. We cannot just say this product is bad, or this way of cooking is bad, or this raw is bad, right? You need to look at so many things and individualize it to the situation and to the individual. Okay, now, the main argument for raw foods is that they're more nutritious, right? Why are you cooking? You're getting rid of all the nutrition. You're losing the nutrients, the vitamins. And even some argue you're losing the enzymes, which is a quite ridiculous argument when you actually look at what an actual enzyme is. But anyway, back to the nutrients and vitamins. Okay, sure, that's true that some, you do lose, some foods you lose nutrients, some other foods you actually gain nutrients and enhance the nutrients, which we'll go into soon. However, the bottom line is, how are you going to digest these nutrients and minerals and vitamins? How are you going to absorb them in the body if you cannot digest that food? Raw foods are harder to digest. Why make your digestion, which we call agni, your digestive fire, agni? Why make your agni do the work? Let the kitchen do the cooking. Why give all the load on your stomach, on your digestive capacity? Give it some more compatibility. Give it a less hard job. Make it much easier. Let the kitchen do the cooking. Even cavemen had fires. And we'll go into the anthropology of raw foods and cooked foods soon. But that's the bottom line, you know. Most of us do not have good digestion. Some of us do. Maybe, a third of us or so. The pitta constitutions, the ones with strong digestive fire, that's really a blessing, by the way. They can digest, hard to digest foods like raw foods. But even then, we want to just make it more compatible and make us able to absorb the food and turn it into nutrient and energy rather than it going straight out, okay? Or not being able to digest and causing ama. Lodging in the body is a toxic, sticky substance. But most of the time, it's just going straight out. And with that, it's detoxifying the body. You think detoxifying is good? It can be good, definitely initially. And we'll go into the cleansing thing now. It's later, I don't want to jump ahead, but also, it can be excessive cleansing and excessive catabolism. So, I just want to add the importance of agni, transformation, cooking, okay? Agni means fire. That transforming is so important in Ayurveda. We can transform foods, we can transform herbs, we can do wonderful things, and it's a really important process. For example, if you take yogurt is a very heavy food. It's, it's said to be prohibited at nighttime because when you eat it at nighttime, it just blocks the channels because heavy food should not be taken at night time, and yoga is one of the heaviest. And it, you know, it's it we call it Abhishandi. It obstructs the channels, and it's also heating. Okay, yogurt's heating. However, when you transform yogurt by adding water in and mixing it well, which we call making a lassi or buttermilk, basically like a diluted yogurt drink, it transforms it to become, now it's cooling rather than heating, and now it actually clears the channels and dilates the channels. So this is the power of transformation. Another example is milk. And this is a great one because everyone complains, oh, I can't digest dairy. Dairy's hard to digest, blah, blah, blah. Well, yes, dairy is hard to digest. It's a hard to digest protein, has casein. It's heavy, congesting, mucousy, damp. It's got those qualities. However, when you transform the milk by the process of boiling, especially with some water diluted into it, boil it until it foams up, until it's about to fall out the pot. And in that process, what's happening is all the doshas are being removed. Not all of them, but the doshas are being removed. Transform it even more by adding in some black pepper. Now it is easy to digest. Now that heavy, damp, mucousy created quality won't be there so much. This is the power of transformation. And this is simple foods. Look at the therapeutic herbs. There's such a massive science behind Agni and herbs, transformation and herbs. You're changing so much. And you're even removing subtle qualities of that substance. For example, with the milk, definitely we are getting milk from stressed cows, right? But when you boil it and remove those doshas, even some of the, which we call samskaras, even some of the memories, even some of that stress chemistry, which definitely gets passed on into the product, is removed with the boiling. You know, you when you boil, you remove the parasites, you remove some of the bad microbes. It can do so much. So cooking is really important. Common cooking treatments can be used also to enhance the nutritional value of the vegetables because it increases the bioaccessibility of health-promoting constituents, which means cooking can actually enhance the nutrients in food. And we're going to go through some of those foods which actually have more nutrients when cooked. And it has the effect, when you cook food, of softening the indigestible cellulose, which allows the nutrients to be released that may not be released if just eaten raw. So cooked foods is one thing about nutrients, but it's also nurturing for the intestinal wall. It's much more nourishing. Raw foods are not so nourishing, especially for those Vata types who need some soft nourishment. They're enough dry and edgy, and nervous system is hyperactive and unstable. The raw foods is much more grounding and nurturing. Now, anthropology. Let's look at what our ancestors ate. Yes, they definitely had fire. Studies show we've been cooking for almost 2 million years. The logic that our ancestors only ate raw food is absolutely fraud. There's just so many studies showing that's absolute BS. So, you know, cooking with fire predates Homo sapiens. If you trace way back, you'll find the species prior to us, which are still in our genus. They were Homo, which means human. In fact, they were called Homo erectus. They had fire and they passed the torch on to Homo sapiens. Okay, this was all found in the studies with fossil analysis. I list them in the show notes. Why did they use fire? The study says, and I quote, to reduce the digestive effort and increase the supply of food energy. There we go. Why did they cook it? Because it's easier to digest and you get more energy from it. You actually get the reason why we eat food is to build our dhatus, to build our tissues and give us nutrients and feed our body with energy. And we get that more with the cooked foods. It delivers that food better. All right. Let's go into some more myths and some more arguments for the raw food diet and show that perhaps that's not a wise argument. One being, and this is an important one because there's definitely validity to it, is that raw food is cleansing. Definitely raw food is cleansing. It has more fiber. Most people will get more bowel motions. They think it's great. I'm getting such good bowel motions. The reality is the food is going straight out. It's not getting absorbed into the body. And along with that undigested food, through those big bowel motions, going out is also good tissue. Okay, definitely at first, the toxins will go out. So when the body is sick and toxic, for example, cancer, the fiber can scrub the intestinal villi, can scrub the intestines and cleanse, right? It'll cleanse. The raw food will go out. The cancer wards are a fantastic thing for cancer. I must admit, I've seen patients just clear the cancer with juices, and I'm sure you've heard about it, fruit juices, vegetable juices. But along with that, once you're cleansed, raw food is not suitable. Once you're cleansed, the good tissue will start eliminating out of the body. Catabolism is happening, which is reduction of tissue, and definitely we want that for something like cancer or something with excess toxins. But the problem starts when the ama, the toxic substance, is finished, and then the body starts to eat the dhatus. It starts to eat the tissues itself. Another thing will happen with this is the patient or the individual will lose weight. Definitely people lose weight, but it's not really the best weight. Other tissues, including fat, will get depleted, like bone and bone marrow and reproductive tissue. These are the three tissues under the fat. So once the fat goes, then these tissues will go. And in a wonderful book, if you ever really want to read anthropology and fire and also about raw foods, check out Catching Fire by Professor Richard Rangam. I believe he's from Harvard Institute. And he wrote that recent studies indicate that low bone mass in the backs and hips of raw foodists was caused by their raw diet. So here we have raw foodists having low bone mass. Okay, and this is very much lines up with Ayurveda, because once you start cleansing and detoxifying the body excessively after the fat, the bone will go, okay, the bone tissue. And I'm personally, in my patients all around the world, especially in places like India where they hide from the sun, I'm seeing a bigger, especially as patient individuals age, they get into the Vata age, which is typically after 50, 60 years old, their bone tissue is pretty weak. It becomes pretty depleted, and a lot of that's that related with the calcium and lack of sunshine and vitamin D. So we definitely need to check out our bone tissue more. If you're having like thinning of hair, weak hair falling out, you definitely need to assess your bone tissue as one thing. It could be possible since the hair is a subtissue of the bone. Anyway, there are healthy ways to lose weight. Simple ways to balance your digestive fire and activate healthy tissue metabolism. And there's wonderful ways to do that. I do that with many of my patients in consultations. You can have an online consultation with me if you're not in Sydney or wherever I am around the world. But it's very simple, especially with the diet, with the intermittent fasting, and with the herbs that stimulate the digestion and also digest the ama, digest the toxins, and then reset the metabolism. Okay, not only if you excessively eat raw foods, the healthy tissues become depleted, but the digestive fire becomes compromised. Okay, so this is seen a lot. I've seen a lot of people recovering from raw food diet damage. Their digestive system has just been detoxifying, and just going out and in, big bowel motions. They have their digestive system really needs to recover, and it just takes a lot of slow sensitivity. I mean, whenever in Ayurveda we're cleansing, always after a cleanse, it's very slow build up. Your digestive fire is like a baby. You have to slowly build. And, you know, when you're excessively cleansing on a raw food diet, then that's what's going to happen. Now, I must say, overall with cancer, a lot of people report juice cleansing, raw food cleansing. Overall, the more vegetables you eat, the better. And like having a plant-based diet and as little meat as possible, if at all, is really key to a healthy cancer diet to reactivate autophagy and apoptosis, which is basically getting those cancer cells to perform the job they should be doing and not continuing to grow rather than, in fact, dying. That's what they should be doing. So when you look at other things like inflammatory bowel conditions, the first recommendation, really any good doctor or even general practitioner will tell you, is to stop eating raw foods, because although they're cleansing, they are very tough on the intestinal wall, and cleansing is really not a suitable diet in this case. Now, foods that have a higher nutrient value when cooked, as I alluded to earlier, I'm going to share with you artichokes. Cooking artichokes increase their antioxidant levels, and in this case, steaming is best. Studies observed the cooking effect on the artichoke antioxidant profile is probably due to the matrix softening and increased extractability of the compounds. Asparagus, when cooked, has more antioxidants than raw. There was a study that assessed significant and more pronounced changes during cooking process. Now, here's an interesting one. blueberries, all right? Blueberries, when they were baked, it showed that they had greater antioxidant levels than the fresh blueberries. It changed their polyphenol content. Now, note that fruit doesn't need to be cooked, right? When it becomes ripe, the sun's cooked it. So this is an unusual one. You could go bake blueberries and make a nice blueberry pie. However, I love raw, fresh blueberries that's cooked by the sun and that's ripe. Fruit doesn't have to be cooked. The sun cooks it. Carrots. This is an important one. Cooked carrots are more nutritious than raw. Steaming or baking whole carrots preserves more of the beta carotene, right? Beta carotene is where the word carrot comes from. And the human body converts beta carotene into vitamin A, retinol. So beta carotene is a precursor for vitamin A, and we need vitamin A, obviously, for healthy skin, mucous membranes, our immune system, our eye health, and our vision. Broccoli. Now, two sides. Two studies, again, with the flexibility of scientific literature. Some studies suggest that raw broccoli is the best because the heat breaks down the enzyme called tyrosinase, which is a precursor for broccoli to release its cancer-fighting and also reducing sulforaphane. Okay, that is the constituent that elevated broccoli to its superfood status. Now, overall, how are you going to digest those enzymes? If it's raw, I don't really like the sound or taste or feeling of raw broccoli. I want it to be cooked and nourishing. It doesn't have to be cooked a lot, just a little steamed or something to nourish the intestinal wall. On the other hand, a perhaps even more health-promoting constituent or more health-promoting nutrient, indole-3-carbinol, is processed only when broccoli, cauliflower, and cabbage are cooked. Indole-3-carbinol has been shown to be precancerous, and especially in prostate cancer, to prevent prostate cells becoming malignant cancer cells. So that's a more health-promoting constituent. I would go with cooked broccoli all the time. Now, spinach. When you chew raw spinach, notice it tastes chalky. This is because it contains oxalic acid, which is an organic substance that can interfere with the absorption of essential nutrients like calcium and iron. A study showed it also attaches to quite a few other vital nutrients, and long-term consumption of foods high in oxalic acid can lead to nutrient deficiencies. Just a little cook of the spinach, like blanching, just pour some hot water over it. Pour some hot water over your salad, steam it, chuck it in when the pot's done cooking and just close the lid and let the steam of the pot of dal or stew or curry or whatever you're making, heat that. Or just mix it into the rice that's already cooked and off the stove. Let the heat of the food heat the spinach, something like that. Now, tomatoes, studies show that cooked tomatoes have higher lycopene, which is a potent antioxidant, more powerful than vitamin C, and is particularly useful in helping the body repair damaged tissues and preventing cancer and heart attacks. On the other hand of scientific literature, other studies show that vitamin C decreased when tomatoes were cooked. But, you know, when you look at these two studies, I rather lycopene is the more potent antioxidant. So, again, the flexibility of scientific literature. These are some foods that, are greater cooked. Tomatoes is actually a fruit, so you could have it raw. But even that itself is nice to have cooked. We're going to go into the foods that you can eat raw soon. Even Ayurveda said in the classical texts thousands of years ago, which foods you can eat in salad form, they called it. So there are some foods you can eat raw. But before we go that, we're going to go into another reported benefit of raw food, that raw food gives you more energy. Again, this is true and also false. Definitely you will get this reported with some people, but one thing is raw food takes about 80% more energy to digest than cooked foods. Okay, so you better have good energy and you better have a strong digestive system if you're going to eat raw foods, because you're going to be using 80% more energy. So you better have good energy and better have good digestion if you're going to be eating raw foods. But plus, after you eat it, it provides the body with less energy following digestion. So how is it that raw food makes you feel more energetic? Certainly it does. Certainly you will hear people raving about it. And typically this will be when they just started the raw food diet. This is a short-term effect at least. So, and this is why. Raw foods are vata aggravating. Why? Because they have a catabolic effect on the body, as explained earlier. Catabolism means reduction of tissues. You're not getting nutrients, you're not getting nurtured, you're not getting nourished. Your body's in building, it's being detoxified, it's being reduced. The tissues are reducing. When that happens, And this is exactly vata. That's what vata is. Vata and kapha are like opposites. Vata is old age, is reducing. Kapha is the young age, is building, stability, increasing, growing. So look at the qualities. Really, qualities are a beautiful thing to understand for doshas and foods and everything in life to kind of align with the nature's cycles. The qualities of raw foods are dry, light, cold, and rough. Now, the vata dosha, which is the bioenergy responsible for movement and perception, that also has all those qualities. Vata is dry, light, cold, and rough. So according to the natural law, which Ayurveda uses a lot, of like increases like, eating raw foods will increase the vata dosha. Simple. So since vata is responsible for catabolism, you'll get cell reduction. And this, the beautiful example which Nadia Marshall from Medita Institute gave, was when you eat raw foods, it's like stars exploding, right? This is like cells dying. That's catabolism. When a cell dies or a star explodes, you get this hit of energy, right? You get this hit of energy, but eventually too many stars explode, too many cells die, and you left depleted. And it's very common for me to see in practice patients who have been depleted from raw food diet. And again, you'll find your friends and people around you raving about it, but I guarantee you they're early stages and they're feeling initial hits of energy, but long term it won't last, and neither should the raw food diet last. Because so this is the same with smoothies, juices, all those things. If you're on it for a short period of time, you'll feel amazing, but the feeling won't last long, and neither should the diet. So not only when does the excess catabolism start depleting the healthy tissues, then ojas, which is the essence of the tissue, it's our immunity, it's our vitality, it's the byproduct, the final byproduct of digestion, that begins to get reduced. And when our ojas gets reduced, then we are really feeling depleted. And this is why people don't stay on the raw vegan diet for long or the raw food diet for long. I mean, if you look into when you have big lectures and someone's asking, how long have people been on this for? 2 years, 5 years, 10 years. 10 years, hardly anyone's there. 15 years, hardly anyone's there. And even the few people that are, even 10, 15 years, that's not a lot of time for a diet. I mean, never has a human species only been doing a diet for 10, 15 years. This is what I'm talking about. Transcend food fads and diets. Stick to the ultimate diet, nature's diet. Ayurveda has been telling this for thousands of years. Why are we trying these things off and on for a few years? Historically, humans have never done diets for 10 years. Okay, they don't dip in and out of fads. They maintain the same diet for generations. Why? Because it's nature's diet. They're eating with the seasons. They're eating according to their location on the planet. They're eating to what their ancestors ate. Okay, this is nature's diet. This just takes a lot of strain itself off the nervous system and mind of people, of individuals, of you, thinking, oh, what should I eat? What should I eat? Should I eat this? I got to count my calories. I got to have no fat. I got to have only fat. No sugar, only organic chocolate, only organic coffee, all these things. Just eat whatever nature's providing at that time of the year, in that season, whatever in your climate, your locality. That's the ultimate diet. And look at the wisdom from Ayurveda. Look at the wisdom for ancient sciences. And look at the wisdom of your own body, of your own self. Tap into what you feel and just use nature as a guide. That's the easiest. Eat whatever's local, seasonal. And then the principles of food, not just about what you eat, how are you eating, what time are you eating the heavy meal? Is it at lunch or is it at dinner? Should definitely be at lunch. Now, another reported benefit of the raw food diet is that it reduces the risk of disease. Now, this is a little slippery reported benefit because it's not very precise. Typically, people who go on the raw food diets tend to stop eating processed food and start eating a lot more fruits and vegetables. So yes, they can feel better wellness overall. And also they're, typically practicing some yoga, meditation, exercising more, getting outside more, reducing toxic relationships, surrounding themselves with like-mind conscious individuals. So that's a pretty poor, inaccurate argument to gauge off in relation to reducing the risk of disease. Now, let's look at what Ayurveda said about raw foods. Now, we're going to go to the classical text, what I call the Shastras, or what are called the Shastras, which are really a wonderful source of knowledge to look at, since they are the authority of Ayurveda. There's so much misunderstanding and confusion with Ayurveda, but when we look at the Shastras, the classical text, that's the authority. That's something we can trust. And there was a wonderful sage called Charaka, a famous Ayurvedic sage, and he gave 10 rules for eating food. Okay? So, and they're in order of importance. And yep, certainly number one, as a matter of fact, is the food should be warm or cooked. Okay, so he even gave the reasoning for this. Why is that the number one rule for food and its intake? This is why it's pretty hard to provide a balanced, view on both sides of cooked versus raw, just because in Ayurveda, it's just cooked all the way. So number one, food should be cooked and raw. Why was the reasoning from Charaka thousands of years ago? Number one, because it's delicious. I agree with that. Number two, after the intake, it provokes the factors, the enzymes in the abdomen, helps digestion. Okay, definitely helps digestion. It's going to help deliver the other nutrients in the other foods that you're eating it with, the multitude of foods that is in that food, right? If it's just a raw food, it's going to be very individual directions of pathways and not very wholesome and compatible. Third is it gets digested quickly and easily. The fourth is that it helps digestion, fluids and nutrients moves downwards. Okay, something we call Vata Anulomana. It's important for the food to move downwards so that we have proper elimination and proper nourishment of individual tissues. And the fifth is that it maintains detachment of a sticky, undigestible, toxic substance called Ama or Kapha, i.e. the food actually turns into a thin fluid which nourishes our body rather than a thick fluid. So that's the number one rule. And I'm going to just mention the other nine rules. The second is that food should be unctuous. Snigdha is the Sanskrit word. So snigdha, you can get a feeling of that Sanskrit. The whole Sanskrit language is onomatopoeia. It's the sound that nature's intending to make. Snigdha means unctuous. Even unctuous is quite onomatopoeia. It means like oily. It should have some oily substance. Food should not be dry. The third is food should be taken in proper quantity. Okay, not too little, not too much. Fourth, take your food only after the previous meal has been digested. That's a big one. That relates with snacks. When you're hungry, are you actually hungry? Do you have good appetite? You know, you need to be hungry for food, and this is indicators of health. And by the way, when you're trying to figure out, navigate through food fads and diets, just check out these 10 rules of taking food. And again, this is available in the show notes under the Learn podcast section. Look for this episode. Fourth, intake after the digestion of the previous meal. Fifth, intake of food having no contradictory potencies, which means incompatible food combinations. We need to just, there are some food combinations which are incompatible. We need to be aware, like milk and fruit and sweet and sour fruits together and fish and milk and ghee and honey in equal quantities. There's a few things like that. Sixth is intake in a proper place, i.e. a calm environment with all the accessories required. Seventh is intake of food not in a hurry. Eighth is intake of food that's not too slow. And the ninth and tenth is intake with concentration, with awareness. Make eating a ritual, and as well eat with self-confidence with regard to yourself, what is wholesome for you. So these are the 10 rules of food. When we go back earlier, we looked at the eight factors determining the utility of food. The second one was karana, processing the substances. I just want to go through what Ayurveda said about the different processing methods. And a lot of them are still practiced today. One is dilution. You can dilute the substance. One is you apply heat, okay, cooking. Third is cleaning it a certain way with some certain substances. It can just be water or something else. The fourth is churning it. For example, curd, as I said, it becomes very blocking for the channels and can create excess water in the body. But when churned, even the fat content of it, it can alleviate this excess water buildup and fluid retention. How you're storing, okay, when you store the substance, it can process it, karana. How is it maturing? Flavoring, for example, putting some sweet smelling herbs in water, like water lily or lotus. Impregnating, so this can be like putting certain herbal fruits in juices. Preserving some herbs or some substance in a jar smeared with ghee and leaving it out. And then container. What container? Even Ayurveda has science of using iron containers smeared with a paste of a herb to store this paste or this herb, and putting, you know, ghee or in a copper vessel or an iron vessel or different vessels, containers. So these are the different methods of processing substances. Now I'm going to go into the vegetables that can be eaten raw, which Ayurveda says plants in salad form. I just want to say that in general, these are better to be cooked. However, you can eat raw green ginger, radish, especially tender radish. A lot of the times vegetables, when they're tender, which means young, is easier to digest and has more nutrient. So tender radish is good. It will alleviate all the doshas and it stimulates digestion. But however, when it's overgrown, it can provoke the doshas. Tulsi you can eat raw. Some people don't chew tulsi which is holy basil, of course, Ocimum sanctum. And I've done a whole article on tulsi. It's one of the most important herbs to know in Ayurvedic herbology, holy basil, and you can eat that raw as a leafy green vegetable or make it into a pesto. But some other school of thought is not to chew it too much or break it down too much, rather swallow it whole, since it does contain some natural and beneficial mercury. Leafy greens like ajwain, the leaves of ajwain, the clove basil, moringa, fenugreek, black mustard, all the leaves of these vegetables are able to eat raw and digest. Lemongrass you can have raw, coriander you can have raw, onion and garlic you can have raw. In fact, garlic has magnificent health benefits when eaten raw and also cooked. And these are about it from Charaka Samhita. I will also add, generally when vegetables have strong pitta characteristics, they can be eaten raw in limited quality. And you can grate them if you want, that will make it easy to digest. So those are like beetroot, carrot, cucumber, celery, and mint. So folks, these are the foods you can have raw. Note that typical vegetables in a salad like lettuce and spinach and kale and leafy greens, these are not included in the raw section. So salads are actually hard to digest, especially if you're having them in the summer when your digestive fire is weaker. Okay, the cucumbers are okay, but the leafy greens, better not. Just blanch it. Just pour some boiling water over it just to blanch or steam a bit. Okay, and we're going to go through some more cooking methods soon. Like, let's do it now. I'm not saying you guys have to like cook the food so much and high heat and cook them for a long time. Just lightly steaming is fine and very beneficial. That's what's going to enhance the nutrient value, as the studies showed before and that I mentioned. Lightly cooking is enough to enhance the health of the intestinal skin of your body, and that will digest properly. If it's soups or stews, that's good, you know. That will capture the nutrients, especially if you're using a pure clay pot with the lid closed. We discussed that in one of the episodes, one of my favorite episodes on cooking with pure clay. That retains the nutrients. But if you are going to do really high heat and overcook it, that is not going to be good. That's going to damage the foods. So using pure clay pots is a wonderful thing, and because it retains the water content, the steam isn't leaving. And also in general, you can also work other ways to retain the water content. And eating a little raw food is fine, right? You don't have to, again, this is the balance, you know, your diet should be predominantly cooked food with the raw food here and there, okay? So there you go. I just want to also mention nuts. You can take nuts raw, but you can even cook them, that's even better. And you can also soak them and peel them the next day, especially with things like almonds and walnuts. Also, you should soak them, and you can also activate them. So there it is, folks. There is the argument on raw foods and cooked foods. Not so an argument, more a discussion, and not being rigid of all this. And the idea is just to, you know, tune into your body and get yourself into a state of health so that you can actually experiment for yourself and determine for yourself what is best. Be aligned with your body, you know, feel into it. Not just go from a place of disturbed intellect and say, oh, this is good, this is bad. Some people are too numb. They can't even feel the effects on their body. Some people just eat because it's time for lunch or dinner. Like, you should eat when you're hungry. You need your digestive system to be regular, your appetite to be regular, your bowel motions to be regular. That's why eating meals at regular times are important, and meditating at regular times and sleeping and waking and doing everything with regularity will balance the vata and enable you to become, to perceive your the world, to perceive your life, to perceive your digestive system, to perceive everything that you interact with in greater context and with greater clarity. So from here, you can make a decision on what is best for you. Ultimately, stick with nature's diet. That nature is complex, so we can be simple. So just go with the natural diet. And if you enjoyed the show, let me know. Leave a comment, leave a review. This is really the first proper solo show I've done. I've done another episode, which was a recorded talk. But this is, if you want more info on nutrition, let me know. You know, these days I'm not talking much about nutrition because it's really simple, as I've demonstrated. Just eat with nature. There's more things we need to be refining in our life with consciousness, mind, environment. That's potentially more influential, but definitely food is one of the three pillars of health, and it's very important. And if there's any topics you'd like me to talk about in the podcast, or anyone particularly you would like me to interview, please leave a comment. Leave a comment in the reviews, in the Instagram, on the Facebook page, the Vital Veda Community Facebook group. Now that I'm doing 2 podcast episodes a month, I need to step my game up. So thanks for joining me, and I'll see you. And in fact, I will communicate with you via your beautiful Shravana, your beautiful ears, next time.